Good morning and welcome back to our presidential weekend series on America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are backtracking slightly to correct the record. We have arrived, officially this time, at President number 9, William Henry Harrison. And Leah, this is a weird one. Usually, when we talk about a president, we talk about their policies, their wars, their laws. But for Harrison, we basically have to talk about three things: a lie, a speech, and a glass of water.
That really does sum it up. William Henry Harrison is famous for serving the shortest term in history, only 32 days. But the story of how he got there, and how he died, is actually way more interesting than the month he spent being president. Let's start with the campaign of 1840. Because this is really where modern politics was born. Stephen, have you ever heard the phrase, keep the ball rolling?
I have. I use it all the time. I had no idea it came from the 1840 election.
It is literal. The Whig Party, Harrison's party, made these gigantic 10-foot-tall balls made of tin and leather, covered them in slogans, and physically rolled them from town to town for parades. Keep the ball rolling was their way of saying, keep the momentum going. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. The 1840 campaign was the first image campaign. The Whigs realized they couldn't win on policy, so they decided to win on vibes.
And the vibe they chose was the common man. They branded Harrison as Old Tippecanoe. They said he lived in a log cabin, drank hard cider, and plowed his own fields. They sold log cabin-shaped bottles of whiskey. They handed out cider at rallies. The message was, Martin Van Buren drinks champagne in a palace. Old Tip drinks cider in a cabin.
Which was a complete lie. That is the best part. William Henry Harrison wasn't a poor frontiersman. He was born at Berkeley Plantation in Virginia. His father signed the Declaration of Independence. He grew up in a brick mansion with servants. He was college educated. He was pure aristocracy. But the Whigs successfully gaslit the entire country into thinking he was a hillbilly hero. And it worked. Voter turnout jumped to 80%. It was a landslide.
So he wins. He comes to Washington. And he is 68 years old, which at the time was ancient. He was the oldest president ever elected until Reagan. He felt like he had something to prove. He didn't want people thinking he was feeble. So on Inauguration Day, March 4th, 1841, it is freezing. It is raining, and Harrison refuses to wear a top hat or an overcoat. He rides a white horse to the Capitol and proceeds to give the speech from hell.
It is still the longest inaugural address in history. 845 words. He spoke for nearly 2 hours in the freezing rain. And the funny thing is, it was supposed to be even longer. His Secretary of State, Daniel Webster, had spent days editing it. Webster famously came home one night exhausted, and his wife asked what was wrong. He said, I have spent the day killing 17 Roman proconsuls as dead as smelts. Harrison had stuffed the speech with references to ancient Rome, and Webster tried to cut them out, but Harrison put them back in. He just kept talking and talking while the crowd shivered.
And this brings us to the tragedy. For 100 years, every history textbook said the same thing. Harrison gave a long speech in the cold, caught pneumonia, and died. It's the ultimate cautionary tale about wearing a coat.
But modern science says that is probably wrong. In 2014, some medical researchers looked at the records of his illness. He didn't get sick until 3 weeks after the speech. If it was pneumonia from the cold, he would have been sick within days. And his symptoms weren't just respiratory, they were gastrointestinal. He had terrible stomach pain and septic shock. The new theory is that he died of enteric fever, basically typhoid.
And the cause of that typhoid? The White House plumbing. This is gross. But we have to explain it. In 1841, Washington, D.C. didn't have a sewer system. The White House got its water from a spring that was just a few blocks away. Unfortunately, that spring was downhill from a night soil depository, which is a polite way of saying a field where they dumped human sewage. The bacteria from the sewage seeped into the drinking water. So Harrison essentially drank contaminated water, got typhoid, and the doctors made it worse by bleeding him and giving him mercury.
It's a terrible way to die. And it happened so fast. On April 4th, 1841, he died. He had been president for exactly 32 days. He didn't even have time to unpack his boxes. His wife hadn't even moved to D.C. yet. She was still packing in Ohio when she got the news.
And his death triggered a crisis that we don't really think about today. Nobody knew what to do. The Constitution just said the powers and duties of the office devolve to the vice president. It didn't say the vice president becomes the president. So when John Tyler arrived, the cabinet said, okay, you are the acting president.
And Tyler said, no. He took the oath, moved into the White House, and returned any letter addressed to acting president unopened. But that all started because Harrison died so suddenly. If Harrison had lived, or if the Constitution had been clearer, American history would look very different. Harrison's death basically stress-tested the Constitution for the first time.
We also have to mention Tecumseh's curse. It's folklore, but it's spooky.
It is spooky. Harrison made his name defeating the Shawnee chief, Tecumseh. The legend says Tecumseh's brother, the prophet, placed a curse on Harrison, saying that he would die in office, and that every president elected in a year ending in zero would also die in office. And look at the list. Harrison, 1840. Lincoln, 1860. Garfield, 1880. McKinley, 1900. Harding, 1920. FDR, 1940. JFK, 1960. They all died in office. The curse wasn't broken until Ronald Reagan survived his assassination attempt in the 1980s.
So Harrison is more than just a trivia answer. He is the man who gave us the modern campaign, the longest speech, and the first test of presidential succession.
And he taught us all to check the water supply.
That is our profile for the ninth president. Next time, we will continue with the man who succeeded him, James K. Polk. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.